Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, the podcast in which you watch an episode of the Golden Girls, and then we break it down scene by scene. I'm Anthony DeSamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today
I'm Jesse Bailey.
I was just about to introduce you, but who needs?
Know we introduce our guests like 20 minutes in?
Let me just jump in.
You ruined the first 20 minutes. Damn it. Hi, Jesse. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
How you been? Tell us how you're feeling.
I've been good. This is like the first time I've watched Golden Girls in, I think, since I was a small child. So it was fun to watch again. Very dramatic.
Well, we always ask our guests what their Golden Girls background is right on top of the show. So, go ahead. You watched it as a kid.
Yeah, I watched a couple of episodes. My Aunt Jan really likes the Golden Girls. She's my mom's aunt from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And she's a single lady, and she watches a lot of Golden Girls reruns still.
Still to this day.
Wow. It's a good life.
Yeah, it is. It sounds like a great life. So we watched...
Shout out to Aunt Jan.
So you haven't watched it since... Has it, so, but you, it was in your peripheral somewhere along the way?
Probably not.
Oh, I like the honesty.
Let's be honest.
I like
Let's
the honesty.
Cut the shit.
I'm always thinking of Golden Girls in my.
You're like, this was not a part of my life at all. until today. So we watched season 6, episode 21, and it is titled, What a Difference a Date Makes. The original air date was March 23rd, 1991. And as we do with every episode, Genevieve is going to do the synopsis for the listener who did not get to watch the episode or refused to. Some of you refused to. All right.
So, I will do your job for you, as always.
This is basically you watching a Golden Girls episode without opening your eyes, what we do here.
Blind people love the show.
We're very
blind people love us. Deaf people, not so much.
All right, so go ahead, Genevieve. Synopsis away. That sounds a lot. By the way, I always say that, and it sounds like RuPaul's sachet away. I just realized that.
Yes.
I know. Respect.
Respect. All right.
So Dorothy has a phone call from a man. It turns out it's her old. It was supposed to be, it was her high school prom date, Michael Norelli, except he never showed up for prom.
John Norelli.
And so, Norelli, I think it was.
Oh, John Norelli. Did you say Michael?
I may have thought Michael. I don't know. I'll let the listener tell me if I said Michael. But I think I said John.
I'm sorry. You did say John. I heard Michael.
All right. John is back in town, and he wants to take Dorothy out, and Dorothy wants to go out with him for revenge.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
As all dates should be.
Yes. And then Blanche is trying to lose some weight because she wants to fit into her wedding dress, because every year she takes a picture of herself in her wedding dress.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't go very well.
Mm-hmm. And Sophia tortures her.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much, Sophia is a dick. Like, that's pretty much like the C subplot of this entire. Yeah.
That is the C plot. There was nothing, like, Rose had nothing going on.
Yeah. Well, Rose is just kind of Rose. Rose is just like, yeah. I mean, she just kind of eats Blanche's diet food.
Yeah, that's the D plot.
So, and gets shook.
Yeah, she gets shook up. So,
yeah.
So we start off with the first scene is Blanche is throwing away all of the food that is delicious. She's just throwing cookies into the trash can, gummy bears. I forget what else, but she's just basically destroying her kitchen.
Yeah. Like, she's basically like, I thought she was just like cleaning out her kitchen. Like, I thought she was like cleaning out.
Yeah, that's like the old food.
Yeah. and then like she finds a bunch of cookies and then she starts eating a cookie. And I was like, I've been there.
But it would be cool.
Make room
if
for the new cookies.
It would be cool if that was the old food. And this is just the episode where, like, the Golden Girls just don't throw out their old food and it's all spoiled. We never get to see, like, that moment until now. That would have been
like
awesome.
I feel like that probably happens a lot. Like, honestly, like, with roommates, like, that kind of constantly eat.
Yeah.
I feel like that would, there's definitely got to be like a really bad leftover situation in that.
Gross.
Yeah.
That's what happens with my vegetables. They turn into potpourri. They're just, oh no. Rose wants the gummy bears so she can play Army and also play Gulliver, like Gulliver's Island.
Yeah, where she's just like a giant with like gummy bears surrounding her.
Yeah,
that sounds amazing, by the way.
I imagine her like naked during that.
Oh yeah.
Yes. You have to be one with the gummy bears.
Like
they're,
it's like,
naked.
This is the Rose's version of being kinky.
I pictured it really vividly, guys.
Yeah.
She uses like like cheese string for the ropes.
Oh wow. Damn, yeah, you got something elaborate like planned out.
Oh yeah, I painted a picture in my mind of what was happening. Yeah. And then Rose is like, oh, I'm sorry, what were we gonna say?
I was maybe little pretzels for like the steaks on the ropes. Like those pretzel sticks.
Stick pretzels. Oh yeah, to keep the ropes down on her bed.
Yeah.
She could have put like marshmallows, like to put like on a stick. I don't know. I can't imagine her destroying her bed with pretzels, but maybe marshmallow stabbing them. I don't know. Or you know what? She probably destroys her bed with pretzels. Let's say that. Okay.
You know what? Yeah, it's her fantasy.
Yeah, it's her fantasy. So then Rose is like, oh, Dorothy gets home. She's like, Rose is like, hey, you got this like message from this dude, John Norelli. He wants to see you. He's in town for work. And then Dorothy's like, oh my God, John Norelli, he's so amazing. He humiliated me in high school. I was like, girl, you got like domestic wife syndrome right there. Like, we know how this plays out, but at this point, he's an asshole, you know? And I'm against this dude.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Though I understand her need to want to see him.
I feel like we should wait. Back up a minute. What's the age gap here, guys? Like, how long has it been? How old are they now? And he's just calling up all random. Like, hey, it's been like 50 years. How are you? No?
Yeah.
No, I'd be like, boy, bye. It's been 50 years.
Sorry, go ahead.
They said it was like, they said it had been almost 40 years, I guess.
So how old was that?
Yeah, so if she was like 18, I think she's like 58.
Yeah.
Cause she,
58, 57.
She married Stan. She was married to Stan for 38 years.
Mistake.
But this was like 5 years ago. And so if they haven't seen each other in 40 years, does that math really add up? I don't think it does. If the last time she saw, yeah, it doesn't. Okay. So anyway, I know it wasn't even, but my point wasn't the math. My point wasn't the math. Go ahead. I lost my train of thought, so go ahead.
It also, like, I mean, it kind of beckons back to an era where, like, people could just find you in the phone book and call you.
Or because you lived in the same place your whole life.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's weird.
Like, I mean, now with Facebook, people can, like, find you and send you messages and stuff like that.
Right.
But I feel like a phone call is scarier.
A phone call is super scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can ignore a Facebook message. You can ignore an email. You can ignore a text, you know. But, like, a house phone call, like, unscreened, that's scary to me. Do you remember that article going around that was, like, these two 80-year-olds met and they were, like, lovers in their 20s and they haven't seen each other in 70, like, so many years, and they got together again? Do you guys remember that?
No. When was this?
It was like this, it was on Facebook. It was like an article, like these two kids met and then they never saw each other again after the war or something. And then they met again, like, through the power of the internet. They found each other. And, like, one of them was in a wheelchair. And, like, the other one was, like, hardly able to walk. And they were, like, when they met each other, they, like, started making out or what, or something.
Like, whoa.
Whoa. They're just like, we're going to be together. But it was super sweet.
That's so
cute. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds really nice, actually.
Yeah, it was heartwarming. But this guy was, like... Like, in her mind, Dorothy was like, this guy's, like, he's still a criminal. Like, I was expecting to see Andrew Dice Clay walk in, just like, hey, with tattoos.
I definitely expected him to have, like, a leather jacket.
Yeah.
He'd be more tough, like a motorcycle dad.
A leather, yeah, a motorcycle vest, a ponytail. Several age-inappropriate things about his attire, and
you just know that he knows how to work a switchblade.
So. Yeah, there you go. And so Dorothy describes the night for the listener. So, for the listener who didn't watch the episode, like. This dude, John Norelli, was, like, totally in juvie, like, in growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys remember calling juvie kids? Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were horrible.
Yeah. You're in juvie. Are you in juvie? Yeah, I'm in juvie. It was so fucked up. Anyway, so he was a juvie kid, and he was, like, Dorothy was in love with him, and then... They decided to go to prom. Like, he asked her out to prom. And then when he showed up, like, he never, at this point, he didn't show up. And Dorothy was left, she was left alone with, like, that fucking.
All dressed up and ready to go.
Right. She was like Ross in that episode of Friends. Like, he was, like, gonna go with Rachel, and Rachel just dissed him. It was pretty much that. This is that.
Sad. Well, didn't even know that he wanted to take her.
You're right. Rachel didn't know that she was, but he ended up showing up that her date.
Well, it was like he showed up. She showed up to, like, Monica's house, and then her date didn't show up, and then like Monica's dad was like, hey, yeah, you should take Rachel. She'd probably like to go with you, you know, like you're an older guy. And he was like, oh, okay. And so he like gets dressed up and then Chip shows up. Mm-hmm. That was the name of her date. I remember like all the remember a lot about Friends. And then they showed the video and then Rachel was like, oh, I love you, you know.
Right. Is that when they first kissed?
Yeah. No. I think that was I don't think it was their very first kiss, but I think like there is like I don't remember, actually. Yeah. I just remember names of dates that I don't. Yeah.
How does this become a Friends podcast each and every single time? I don't understand. So she was totally torn, and she was like, so now she's like, I'm going to get revenge. Like, fucking, this reminded me of like Romeo and Michelle's high school reunion. Where Romy gets revenge on that dude and doesn't fucking show up, right?
Yeah.
Blanche is like, there was like this weird moment where Blanche thought that she was gonna get hooked up with him. Cause Dorothy was
Dorothy was like, I want him to see a successful woman,
like all strong about herself, like, yeah, he's gonna see me, I'm gonna be strong and beautiful. And Blanche is like, well, I don't know if I can go on a date with him last minute.
Though I do think like Blanche just kind of assumes that any man that like roves into their house is there for her. Like,
no,
yeah, or will be at some point, like.
And sometimes there's so many episodes, Jesse, there's so many episodes where we thought that Blanche was going to fuck someone's date. And like, because she just flirts. She just flirts with them. And we're like, what's happening right now?
Well, did you guys go to your senior proms?
I went to my senior prom with friends.
Yeah, I went to. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, mine's going to be terrible. So you go ahead.
Mine's not great either. But I was set up on a date with somebody who also did not have a date. So I basically went to the prom as a blind date.
Oh my gosh, whoa. That's like really awkward.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Was he cute?
Was he lame?
He wasn't bad. He was actually really shy.
Ah.
But I was also very shy, but it was like to the point where it's like two shy people together, it's like, so you just go, God, you're so shy that you make me like not want to be shy anymore. Like I'm like ashamed of this now.
So did it. So you think like this made you not shy? Like this was a turning point in your shyness?
No, I think it just made me feel bad about myself.
Oh, okay. If
I'm like this guy.
Yeah, I think for a while I was like, I should probably think about being less shy sometimes. Yeah, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe I do owe him a little bit of thanks.
I didn't go to prom. I ended up doing crystal meth and going to, back then, like for the, some of you listeners know that that's what I used to do in high school. And so instead of buying a tux or renting a tux, I decided to buy an 8-ball. And so that's what I did. And then I also got drunk and showed up at the guy's house that I had a crush on, and he was having an after prom party and started crying and like accusing him of raping me, even though he's never touched me.
So oh my god.
Yeah, that was my prom.
Most dramatic prom time. Did you at least wear a corsage?
I was like, I don't even know where my mind was at. So I'm sure my clothes did not make sense at all either.
At least look fabulous if you're going to show up to somebody's after prom party and accuse them of raping you.
Yeah.
Gotta go out with a bang.
Yeah. He's my friend on Instagram now.
Look how I've turned it around.
Yeah, you should comment on his one of his posters and like, remember when I accused you of raping me?
Yeah.
Hashtag throwback Thursday.
That's so dark. Just post a picture of like a broken mirror.
Yeah, they're just like a prom program, like in the reflection of the broken mirror, and like meth scattered across it.
Why does the prom have a program?
Good point.
8 o'clock twerking.
I don't know. Yeah.
9 o'clock more twerking.
Oh, okay. The best thing at my senior prom is, you know, girls were wearing those like chicken cutlet boob inserts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And like this hoe girl at my school was dancing too hard and hers fell out. And then someone threw it across the room.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. That is so hilarious. Like, she would set that shit on fire if she was Carrie. Like, that kind of shit.
Yeah. We had, I went to probably the best dance I went to was with my sophomore year boyfriend. We went to like a dance at his school and we got photo albums. So maybe that's what I'm thinking of instead of programs. I was thinking
photo
like
albums.
Yeah, we got like photo albums. It was like a photo album where you can like put all your like dance memories and stuff like that. And I think mine's like 5 pictures and then the rest are like pictures of camp or something.
I don't know. Prom. Okay. So then Dorothy's like, she was like, oh, I thought you wanted him to meet somebody that did something with her life. And then Dorothy's like, oh, done something with her life standing up.
I like that joke.
And I was like, I was just really like proud of that, of Blanche in that moment where she just owned the fact that a lot of her accomplishments happen
horizontal
during fucking. And I'm like,
yeah,
dude, that's amazing.
I mean, in Blanche's defense, I mean, yeah, I'd like to do more stuff in bed, you know, like,
yeah.
You gotta own that.
I have my own personal like ethnicities like fucking like bucket list. Like I wanna
like
fuck
a checklist.
Like
someone
I wanna fuck
three arms.
Every race, basically. And I think I fucked mm-hmm. every race except for full blown Asian.
Full blown Asian?
What does that mean?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
I mean,
you're
I fucked.
Just a little bit Asian.
Like, I mean, full and blown. I like they use full blown. Like it's AIDS.
After Anthony meets him, he will be a full blown Asian.
Well, he will be full blown Asian. Yeah. So blown to completion. Touche to Jesse for the best joke of the podcast. I've had multiracial Asian. I've had mixed, you know? Like,
I have had sex with a full-blown Asian.
Oh.
The stereotypes are wrong, guys. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. That, I mean, I don't know. I mean.
I'm just speaking from experience.
Okay. That's why I want to. But it just, gay Asian men tend to, I don't know what it is, but they tend to, like, big, hairy, white, like beefy bear men.
Weird. And what a weird mix.
Wow.
I know. And I'm not one of those. Like, it's kind of like how, oh God, I'm stepping into a stereotype zone. But it's just like they like being submissive. Is that the wrongest thing to say right now? and like that's the most masculine thing that they can think of, like a West, like a European, Western European, like beef daddy. So I'm just beef like daddy. Yeah. beef daddy.
That sounds like a really good like brand of beef jerky is Beef Daddy.
Beef Daddy. I'm so glad no one writes us like angry letters. Okay, so
we'll hear about this on Twitter and it'll be funny.
So. Probably. So anyway, where was I? Where were we?
The sick burn.
Yeah.
Dorothy Sickburn. And so then the next scene is the Mardi Gras. I wrote Mardi Gras outfit. Dorothy comes in.
It was a Mardi Gras outfit. Yeah.
It was out of control. She looked like...
Okay, but...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No one could have prepared her outfit for the dinner she was about to go on.
Yeah. No one. It's like she heard she was...
No, and I feel like, I gotta say, I don't feel like they acknowledged it enough.
I feel like John betrayed her.
Yeah, I was like, what is happening? For the listener that refused to watch, Dorothy, they have reservations for a restaurant and they go to a Medieval Times.
Mm-hmm. Medieval Times.
Yeah.
So Dorothy decides she heard Medieval Times. What is my most Renaissance fairy outfit that I could possibly own, where I look like a witch in Hamlet? Like what? No, I'm sorry, Macbeth. And like, this is what she wore. She was like this drapey Mardi Gras green, purple, like with gold embellishment. Craziness.
It was silky. It was like silk pajamas, silky. Is what it looked like.
It was, dude, I wrote the word pajamas. I fucking swear.
It was like
swear.
Big silky pajamas. But yeah, because it was like really bold, silky pajamas.
Yeah,
she's it's got like her revenge pajamas on.
It's like. It's like a pajamas that you find like at a Ross because they were just cut wrong and there was a lot of extra fabric like that. So in this scene, she's like, I'm getting revenge, blah, blah, blah. And then Blanche is like, I mean, she's in the middle of the diet, the beginning of the diet. And she's got her little shake. She's got her... Sophia calls her George Kirby, which I don't know who that is. But I just thought of Kirby from the video game. And I was like, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with little pink Kirby.
Yeah. I forgot to look up who that is, too.
Oh, my God. I was like, Genevieve's going to look that up. And so I did it.
It's probably a fat old white man.
Yeah, it's I think he's a baseball player. Would be my guess.
Retired baseball player.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Write in if you know who George Kirby is, or if you are George Kirby.
If you are George Kirby, that's fantastic.
Send us a photo of you in 1991.
Compare.
Yeah. So yeah.
And put on makeup.
I assume that it was not what you want to look like if you're Blanche. So, because basically, like, yeah, that was pretty harsh of Sophia. Sophia was like, you know what? I've always been under 100 pounds, even as an adult. And you know why? You know what my secret is? I was born that way. I can eat whatever I goddamn want.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
But then she shoves cake into her face.
Yeah, she does. She like puts that eclair right in front of her. Like, oh, here.
Yeah, I just have this eclair. Yeah, I just have this eclair like sitting around. And
shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. I looked up George Kirby. It is a round-faced African-American male actor and comedian. So she called him like a black dude? Okay.
Maybe round-faced?
He's round-faced. I mean, I said that because that's what I see. But I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe there's another inside joke that I don't get. Because he was a comedian.
Okay. All right.
So I don't know. It does not look like Kirby at all. So then this dude, John Norelli, so there's this moment where like John Norelli's like knocking on the door, and Bea Arthur is so fucking amazing in this scene. Like, she was so ready to tell him off, and like he walks in and she's like, I love you. And like, and he's like, yeah. What? Yeah, and she's like, I'd love you to meet my friend Rose. Like, it was just a great moment. A great Bea Arthur moment, as there are many.
Yeah, I mean, she opens the door. He's handsome. He's charming.
I knew he was going to be a silver fox.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah, he was going to be...
I kind of thought he might be... I actually was, like, thinking he might be, like, a cross-dresser.
Mm.
So I was
Life, why?
I was
why?
Trying to I was thinking like he was gonna have like some good reason for like standing her up, like he it was like, no, I'm a cross dresser and I like men or something like that,
right? Something like that.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be something like that where she like wants to get revenge and then she's like, oh, okay, this is something different.
I had no like hypothesis of why he would not show up. I assumed it was something that it wasn't hurtful or anything because it was so early in the episode. But he had this like Latino flair to him. Did you notice this?
Yeah, he was a little tan.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's Hal Linden, and he's Jewish.
Yeah. Like Latina, yeah, so like the dark-skinned Jewish.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know where he's from, but like, yeah.
Like Mediterranean Jew, you think?
Yeah, it could be.
I just feel like he was wearing a suit. Are you going to be wearing a suit to this restaurant?
Yeah.
He put on a suit to go to Medieval Times.
I really want to eat a turkey leg while wearing a suit.
Why did he go there? And you know what? Like, he kind of looked like he was out of the... He had this Latino thing, and he reminded me of, like, the dad in the movie Zoot Suit. Like, he was just... Or, like, one of the Latino Zoot Suit guys. Like, he just... So, like, I don't know. Yeah, that's...
I don't know what you're
flashy
yeah.
man.
Yeah, he did kind of have like a zoot suit. Like it was kind of like flashy, but then I felt like Medieval Times is like, I don't know, like Chili's would have been a weird place to go. Like, and I feel like Medieval Times is like a few notches like beyond Chili's.
Well, it seemed like maybe this episode was written without being at a normal restaurant. And then the writers were like, how can we make this funnier? You know, how can we, like, because it had nothing to do with the episode. You know, it was just...
We got this guy who juggles.
Right.
This guy who plays guitar. And we also got this guy who's obnoxious. Like,
oh my God. Did you know who that guy was? The jester? Did you notice who he was?
No.
No.
He plays Dorothy's dad in previous episodes.
Oh my God. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because I watched it last night, like, kind of, and then today I was like, where is he from? He's from the same show. He plays the dad in flashback scenes. He's Salvador Estelle's late husband.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like,
all right, that makes a little bit more sense. Okay, I'm sorry.
So I was like, is this like a Sixth Sense moment where like his ghost, like only Dorothy can see him? Like, is this his gizmo?
Is he's this dressed his... up in this horrible outfit with a baby head on a stick.
Yeah, because he like he grabbed his gesture stick and threw it, and then John Norelli said nothing. So like, was he witnessing a woman in a like having a nervous breakdown, seeing her father?
No.
Or maybe the only person that I could see that they were in a medieval times was Dorothy.
John was like, this is a totally normal restaurant I go to all the time. Sometimes these weird guys are walking around.
Right. It was. Just Dorothy sees what she wants to see, and she wants to see a fucking 15th century themed people that sing theme songs to current TV shows at the time. So that was really awkward. What else? It didn't. And you know what? You know what was weird too? Like, this was like a, this is obviously like a child's restaurant, right? Like, medieval times is for children. And there was. This is like a Chuck E. Cheese, basically. And like everybody in the, all the extras were people in their 40s and 50s. It was like legit businessmen and like.
Yeah. Like I don't.
Moms and dads.
I haven't been like the only. Like, I think the last time I was. I've never been to medieval times, but I've been invited. And the last time I think I was invited was when I was.
Same
15.
Thing. Same thing.
Yeah.
That's so awkward. I just feel, and then he was like, hope you like medieval food. And I was like, this is the worst Tinder date ever.
Oh, God. Yeah, he did what? Say that. Yeah.
Goes, hope you like medieval. What? Like turkey legs? Giant things of beer? I don't. Oh, they ordered grog.
Grogs.
I don't know what that is. I'm assuming that's beer.
It sounds. Yeah, I don't it know. Sounds not good. It sounds like you're like horse urine or something. Grog. I don't know.
Yeah,
horse urine, cool. Just like our ancestors used to drink.
We have some nice grog on tap. You want?
I know.
From a thoroughbred. God damn it.
Maybe grog
that's
is
so
like.
Weird.
Yeah, it was really awkward. So
I'm not gonna lie. I feel like that was really a distracting.
Yeah.
I did not know what happened when they were talking at dinner because I was thoroughly distracted.
Yeah.
They
were in that shitty restaurant.
So basically, the only important thing really was him saying that Sophia turned him away when he showed up at the house at prom night.
Well,
that was like the only thing.
First he asked her if she wanted to get together like on Friday. And she's like, well, I've got this dance on Friday that I've got a chaperone at the high school. And then he was like, and then he kind of invited himself, and she was like, I don't think that's the best idea considering what you did last time. And he's like,
wait.
Yeah.
It was actually your mom the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, that was really strange that first of all, she accepted right away before they even discussed what happened before, because she's so like she's dignitized or at this point she's just kind of like she's dropped her intent, which is
not for revenge anymore.
And you know, when a character drops their intent, it means either they're gonna bring it back or there's gonna be new information that relieves that intent, and that's what happens. Like, this dude is like, legit, I tried to pick you up, but your mom cussed me out basically and told me I was a piece of shit, fucking juvie
and
piece of shit and a slob, and to fucking come back with a tie and a jacket, which he couldn't do.
Yeah. I don't know. And I just thought it was weird that she just took him at his word in a medieval times.
Yeah.
I believe everything you say, guy that took me to this child's restaurant full with adults. Yeah.
You are at your most sincerest right now in this castle building.
I wouldn't lie, the king is sitting right over there.
Yeah. We're about to eat mutton in this child's room. You are, I believe every word you say. And so, but it was true. She goes home and she's like, fucking see Sophia. And she's like, we need to have a talk. You fucking told my fucking date to fucking leave. Not verbatim. And...
And then she married Stan instead.
And she just goes out to, like, make the biggest, like, outlandish, over-exaggerated claim. You're the reason I married Stan and ruined my life. I'm like, what the fuck?
It was really dramatic. Like, you're the reason everything is ruined. And we were both sitting here like, this is very dramatic.
Wow.
Yes. Seriously.
How could I ever forgive you for that? This is, dun, dun, dun. But you know what? Yeah. At this point, Stan was better than that guy. Like Stan, like that guy was garbage. He was like fucking having knife fights probably or something. And so she was looking out for her.
What do you think he showed up in? Like at this house?
Oh, like, okay. I went to homecoming with a guy that dressed up really gross. He was wearing like Dickies, like gray Dickies. He normally wore khaki Dickies, so it was an upgrade, and an unbuttoned, wrinkly, oversized, like, white dress shirt, like maybe his dad's dress shirt. It, like, covered his hands.
This is a date?
Really nice. And my mom, yeah, it was homecoming, and my mom's like, I guess he can take you.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I had a date one time where it was, like, a first date where we met on MySpace. And then, like...
Was he in your top eight?
All these blind dates.
He never made it to my top eight. But he showed up. We were, like, meeting at a nice Italian restaurant. And I had, like, a dress on. And, like, he showed up in, like, board shorts.
No.
Oh,
and
no.
And
what
I was
a loser.
I was, like, not... Yeah, I was not
these
into it.
These were
I
his... Was, like... But these were his nice boy shorts.
Yeah, with the mesh underneath one... that hugs his balls.
Yeah, I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah, dude.
I went out.
The fucking boy short mesh is so weird. Yeah.
That's what happens when it's you, like, borrow them.
Why is there?
Why do you guys have?
Why is there netting
in
here?
I wash them, and I'm like, what?
It's like a little mesh underwear in there.
Are you guys like fishing with this? I don't get it.
Like... Is this
keep
like
them aerated?
Is this fishnet for your balls? I don't understand. Yeah. So she fucking just tells off her mom. And Sophia, Sophia must have been like, you cray. And so the next scene was Blanche going into the kitchen, opening the fridge, and somebody ate her motherfucking tuna fucking quiche. And she is legit.
That sounds gross.
It sounds
so
gross.
Yeah, it did sound gross. Yeah. Well, she like also like, well, okay, so Sophia was like decorating a cake, like a bundt cake.
Well, yeah, and then
for some reason, because she feels guilty. Yeah.
No, like they were all making.
Dorothy was making cookies and. Oh. Rose was over there helping. I don't know. They're making a bunch of sweets.
Is this passive aggressive bakery day? Like, what is happening?
I know you're on a diet, bitch. Sorry, we're just going to bake.
Yeah, you're trying to lose weight. We're going to make a bunch of fucking delicious baked goods. Fuck you.
Good luck.
Good luck. So So yeah, it was the weirdest thing ever. And so yeah, so she fucking finds out. So okay, so here's the deal. She's supposed to eat two shakes and a meal under 500 calories.
And
the shake was tiny. That shake was 6 ounces. I'm sorry, it was.
No, that's what Slim Fast was. It was, yeah. That's like you'd get these
Slim
little
Fast
shakes and then
12 ounces.
Yeah, and it was like a sensible dinner at night. So like you eat like, because those shakes
one broccoli and yeah. one dried chicken breast.
Yeah. Oh,
and I used to chug a Slim Fast on my way home from Walmart, and then I used to go home and chug another. I was like, this is the shit.
double fisting
Slim Fast.
Just go home with a 6-pack of Slim Fast.
It's been a rough day.
No, my Slim Fast would last. It would not last 48 hours. My 6-pack of Slim Fast. It was gone.
You got like a chocolate one, a vanilla one, and a strawberry one to make a Neapolitan.
I just chug all three.
They do taste like melted ice cream.
They do.
I like to make
a
swirl.
They're pretty good, actually.
It was just melted ice cream.
I will say,
cream.
There's nothing that will make me hungrier in this world than drinking a Slim Fast.
I think that if it was differently, if it was labeled, you know, milkshake, oh, then I would be full. But because it's Slim Fast, because it says Slim Fast, I'm like, all right, I'm not supposed to eat for 4 hours, you know? And it's just, it just fucks with your brain too much.
I mean, yeah. And for a while, they had that logo that was like, it was like basically like a shake, but like with a measuring tape with like a tiny little waist.
Yeah. And then that theme song, the song that they used to play for Slim Fast was, time is on my side. Yes, it is. And I was like, fuck you motherfuckers. If you can't, like, for reals, like, the only way to, like, lose weight if you've mastered the concept of time. Like, that's, like, I think... That's so the deep. Only way. I
fat
don't
know how to manage their time. That's really that's
the only way. I've lost weight when I was able to like just count the hours to my next meal and just be like, okay, I ate 7 hours ago, I can eat again. Like that's the only way.
Oh God, that's such a beautiful feeling.
Like, it is the worst feeling. Do you mean you mean sarcastic?
No, I mean like after you like been waiting to eat and then you realize, I can eat now and I can have this and I'm like, oh, I can have a whole 600 calories. Oh my God.
But Blanche's tuna quiche wasn't there, guys. The tuna, which by the way, isn't quiche just eggs?
Yeah, it's like eggs and like a crust and
it's
like
fucking tuna and eggs
with a crust. Yeah, with like a breading.
Yeah, I'm not on board at all.
It's the chicken and the sea.
Yeah, but Rose is just like, yeah, it was a little bit fishy.
I ate it as a snack. Sorry.
So I washed it down with your strawberry shake.
And then
she didn't have any of her diet food.
There was this great joke where Dorothy's like, me and Dan tried this diet where every time we were hungry, we would have sex. And Blanche is like, so how much weight did you lose? And she said, I gained 18 pounds.
I love it. She yelled it. Like,
I know. It's so good. So the next scene is like the patio scene. And they're, Dorothy's going on another date. And she's like, legit, she's angry at Sophia, and she's like, and he comes in, he's taking her out on another date, and like, he's like, you remember my mom, the fucking bitch? I forget what her words were. It wasn't fucking bitch, but she was like,
it
the
was horrible.
You remember my terrible mom, the one that turned you away. And then it's so weird because he doesn't... Okay, so I'm jumping ahead, but he was like, later on in the patio when they were coming back from the date, he was like, your mom was the one that set me straight. She was the one that was like... She told me off so hard that I got my shit straight and stopped being a fucking punk. But when, like, they were in that room when he was picking her up and she's totally shitting on Sophia and calling her a terrible mom, he doesn't say anything like, oh, you actually saved my life, you know?
Yeah, he didn't jump in at all. You're right. What an asshat.
He just let her shit on her. I was like, what the fuck is your problem?
Maybe he didn't really turn his life around. He's still a douche.
Pretty much like he, every time we didn't see him, we just assumed that he was like spray painting a building.
He manufactures spray paint. He's like, I've still got the taste. He's full of shit. He had the whole dinner to come up with that story of him. Like, of him setting his life straight. He's living in a fucking junkyard, probably, you know, feeding the junkyard dogs.
Maybe he was just trying to say that to get into her sequin dress.
He's like, I want to get into your revenge pajamas.
Oh, my God.
I need a pair of those revenge pajamas.
I will say, this is my favorite. This was my favorite dress that Dorothy
was wearing. Yeah, that was a banging dress, man. Even gorgeous. If it was full coverage.
It was like... It was like a midnight black blue dress. It was just in Genevieve, do you have an all sequins dress?
I don't. I have a partially sequin dress.
Oh, you need to get full sequin.
What? You? You have one?
No. No, I was with Sari Beliak in Bisbee at a thrift store.
Oh, yeah.
And she tried on an all sequin dress and she was like, should I buy this? And I was the good friend that said yes.
Good. Oh, very good. Yeah.
So have her model it and she can be our Dorothy.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. And so basically, he's like, yeah, so your mom fucking saved my life, whatever. And then he left. Like, he doesn't even bang her out or anything. He just,
They didn't even kiss. Oh, they did kiss.
They did kiss, but then he's like, I gotta go back to my junkyard where I live.
It was cool seeing you again for one night 50 years after I blew you off.
Yeah.
What a random... I'm not gonna lie, if I was an adult and this person tried to be like, hey, want to meet up again after 40 years? I'm like, no, I've got a life now.
Yeah. But if you had a life and then your life went a different way, like you got divorced, would you meet him?
I feel like no. Like, who knows this man anymore?
Yeah. I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast, but I once had a guy that I dated when I was 19 that like stood me up and then broke up with me. Mm-hmm. And then like 5 years later, he found me on MySpace, from where all blessings flow, apparently. and then he was like, I'm really sorry I blew you off. You know, like, you know, maybe we should get together sometime. And like,
what?
And then I was like, all right, I'll get together with you. And then it was like we set like a date. Like,
did you blow him off
in a week? And like, he obviously like had way more serious feelings about me. Like, he was like, now we're together. And I'm like, what? Like, he was sending me like all these weird messages.
So after all these years, he had made a shrine in his closet of you, and he wanted to meet you.
Yeah, it was weird, and like his life had taken like a left turn. Like, since then, like, my life had been, I've been on an upward trajectory and was like doing really well, and he'd like quit college and like gained 50 pounds, and like it was like all sorts of weird shit. Like, and then I was like, yeah, I think I'm actually really busy that night.
That's crazy. That's the best. That's actually, Genevieve, that's the best scenario. That's the best. Yeah. That's what everybody wishes. Like, the guy that blew you off to be like super fat and ugly and on your case. Like, that's Romy's and Michelle's like high school reunion again. I'll bring that back, and like it's what we dream of, you know.
That movie is probably like the best movie of our generation.
Yes.
For sure. Oh, it speaks time volumes about. Yeah.
Time after time. I'm just gonna fade.
We should just cut. Just do the entire Romy and Michelle soundtrack.
Yes. Acapella.
So then she walks in. Well, like, okay, so he walks in. He takes off wherever. I don't know where he goes. And she and Dorothy walks back into the house. And Sophia's in there. And she's like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, you totally changed that man's life. You knew what the fuck you were doing. Like, and I was being a fucking bitch, and I can't blame you for every decision in my life that went wrong. And Sophia's like, yeah, that's right.
Sophia's like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah, no shit.
Oh, yeah. And then the weird scene where she's like, please sit on my lap. Fucking weird.
Yeah.
I know. That was really weird. But it was really sweet
I'm not for adults sitting on other adults' laps.
Yeah. Like, don't fucking let... Especially if you're tiny and they're giant.
Wait, and but only if they're a beef daddy.
Beef daddy!
I'll sit on a beef daddy's lap.
I would sit on a beef daddy.
I'll sit on a beef daddy. And tell you about my prom night. So then, like...
Is that your salami stick, beef daddy?
So I guess like prom night, he just dropped her off at home, and because she was, I guess Dorothy didn't care about the other students. She was just kind of on a date. Like all the students are just like fucking each other and making out and scissoring on the dance floor and shooting up heroin. And Dorothy was just like, oh my God, I'm on a date. Like, oh my God. Because she just tells Sophia how, like, she recaps her prom night to Sophia as if it was her actual prom night, which was kind of sweet. I thought that was like,
I also,
super cute.
One thing I should mention was, wasn't the theme of the prom, please wear a condom?
Yeah, it was wear a condom.
Oh, which, yeah, right.
Which is a beautiful joke.
So they just blew up condoms and, like, fucking...
That's what they had for balloons.
But don't you remember that one dance? Did you... do you remember the movie Singles?
Yeah.
They had that dance, Contraceptive Night. Do you remember that?
Oh, my God, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And everybody was dressed as their favorite contraceptive. There was, like, the pill, the condom. It was, like, just... I can't remember. Like, the vaginal...
A girl with,
like,
jizz on her dance. Face. A
girl with jizz on her...
somebody the being... pull-out method.
Yeah.
Somebody being... somebody dressed as being cummed in the butt. Like... So it's pretty much that situation. And so she fucking sits on her lap and they have this beautiful moment, and that's it.
Oh, there's one more thing we gotta cover.
The wedding dress.
Yeah.
Oh shit, I forgot about that. Okay, so the oh yeah, the purpose of her diet was to fit into that wedding dress, and it was like this red, like, fucking drag queen dress. It was just so out of control.
I would describe it as a jazzy number.
Yeah, it was a little cocktail outfit with matching red shoes and tights and a red hat.
Yeah. Oh, it was fabulous. I loved it.
And then Rose was like, well, it's not a white dress.
And Blanche is just like, yeah, I don't think I could keep a straight face in white.
Right. Everybody would be laughing. It looked like something from like a 1940s, like, black and white film. It was just and it took place in like Spain. Like this. Like, yeah. Fucking, I don't know. It was just out of control. So she turns around and she's like so proud about her dress, and she turns around and it's not even closed. Like the top
it's
is just
open
wide
in the back, not zip.
I know. She should have walked backwards.
Yeah.
Out of that room.
But Rose takes a photo of the back.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the photo that's going to go into the scrapbook. Like there's a scrapbook, right?
I assume so. I don't know.
Cuz she says every feel like this... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I feel like this was harsh. Like, I mean, I don't know. Why would you expect to be the same weight you were in your 20s?
Yeah, that's kind of out of control.
At like in
too.
your 50s.
No, dude, I'm going to be fat and saggy. Like just let mm-hmm. it be. Like you're going to be fine.
Yeah. Judith Shelton here in LA has this joke. She's like, she's in her late 40s, and she has this joke. She's like, I realized that I'm not going to be a skinny old woman. Like, it's too late for me. Like, I should have planned. I should have planned better.
It's all about time management.
Yeah. It's so good. Yeah. She's so funny.
Just be fat, guys. It's fine.
Yeah. Look up Judith Shelton. She's great. And
she's really funny.
And so it's because she says like every year she gets into her wedding dress and takes a photo, and so like even after George, like so she hasn't done it since George died, or she's been doing it since George died, and every single year she goes crazy trying to lose weight. Like I wasn't completely sure what was happening. So I don't know. We may never know. Okay. So I think that, did I miss anything else? God, now I'm just thinking, what did I miss? Okay.
No, I think we got it. I think we've given this episode its full due.
Okay. All right. We did it again. Yay. All right, so this comes out on July 19th, God help me. And is there anything, Jesse, that you would like to plug, or where can people find you online?
Yeah, I would just direct people to Chatterbox. It's the storytelling show that I host and run. We're currently on hiatus, but we're back in August at a new location. Cool. So we'll be at Fair Trade Cafe starting in August. So that'll be a lot of fun. But
is that
Facebook
a different location?
Yeah.
Or is that the same one?
New location.
Okay.
But we're on Facebook. I have a website too. So go to chatterboxazstorytelling.com, and that's where everything will be.
Right on. Yay.
Awesome.
And Genevieve, where can people find you online, and where are you going to be after July 19th?
All right. Well, the day after this comes out, we're going to have the Snark Show at Plasma. And it's the first time we've done the Snark Show this year, so I'm very excited. And it's the first time we've done it with the Beautiful Losers show that goes on at Plasma, so... It's pretty awesome. It's a free show. We've got lots of favorites, including Jason Hill and Michael Paul Cohn, and we've got some newcomers, including our sequin goddess Sari Beliak.
Yes.
And so yeah, I'm very excited. You can find me online. I'm at Genevieve Rice on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So.
Yay.
Come tell me George Kirby. Tell me who George Kirby is.
Yeah, tell us who he is. And I'm at Anthony DeSamito on Twitter and Instagram. And July 20th, I'm going to be at Let's Get Weird. And that's going to be at the Arts District Brewing Company. I believe it's like 9 o'clock. And then July 23rd, I'll be at Yafiel, which is the show I produce at the Hollywood Improv Lab. and it's gonna be fucking awesome. It's at 8 o'clock, so you should come by and laugh your ass off with super funny people. And I'm gonna be actually in Arizona, July 27th through the 29th, opening for Gina Brion at the Tempe Improv. So that's gonna be super fun. I'm so excited to be back. I'm not excited about the heat, but I will. I will pretend like I never left, and not act like a little spoiled brat. All right. So, thank you, Jesse, for being on the show.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for being a guest.
Oh, and one more thing. Today, the day we're recording today, which is July 15th, we hit our 50,000 downloads. Ooh, overall.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Well, claps. Thank you. Yeah, so we're super excited about that. Never this thought
is,
that
this,
would
this whole podcast is our revenge against people who wronged us in high school.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Take that, so... motherfuckers. 50,000. So what do you have? Just children?
And houses.
And loveless marriages, and and you're still shopping at the grocery store that you did as a child. Give me a break. Yep.
And your face, Hillary Anderson.
Yeah, Hillary Anderson.
You just got called out by name.
In your face, fucking, what's the name of the dude I hated? He was dating that one dude. Well, my revenge is that I don't remember your name. Okay. Lynn. Fuck you, Lynn. Okay. So, yeah, you have a woman's name. Okay. Anyway. So, thank you, everyone, for listening. Oh, the next episode is season 6, episode 22. I forget what it's called. I think it's called... I fucking forget. Okay, just check it out.
And this is what George Kirby looks like.
This is what George Kirby looks like. Yeah, that's the name. The music is by Mike Dennison and Brian Korkernak, along with our individual Twitters. The podcast has a Twitter, and it's a thank you for being a podcast, but as an acronym, at TYFBAP, at TIFBAP, also at TIFBAP on Instagram. Check out our page on Facebook. Thank you for being a podcast. That's the fucking URL after facebook.com. And thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a beautiful day and or night. Goodbye.
Yay.
Gonna stuff a chicken.
Gonna stuff the chicken.
Like my mama taught me.
Like my mama taught me.
Gonna take the chicken.